You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Amen. Well, turn to somebody and say, you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We started this series a few weeks ago, and it's really been amazing to just remember the fact that there are going to be people in our lives that will minister to us, and we're also meant to minister to other people. So any way you cut it, you need people for the process. Amen? So you can't do it alone. And so we've had such a great time in this series. And if you've missed it, I encourage you, go back and look at it. You can find it on the website. We're so happy to have Minister Robert and Joycey back in the house today. I think they were honeymooning and vacationing. And I always see their pictures and I'm just so, I don't know. Is it all right to be jealous? No, I'm getting ideas of places that I want to go. Amen. So today, I want to talk to you. This is the final part of this series, and I'm entitling it, Follow Me. Follow Me. If you'll go with me to Mark chapter 2, verse 13. I want to speak to you about this. And as you're finding it, you can just turn to someone in your best Jesus voice and say, Follow Me. I don't know if that was the right. That's probably not the right voice. It kind of sounded croaky, right? I don't know. You need to work on that some more. Mark 2:13. It says, Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, Why does he eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he told them, Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. When I was reading this week, I just imagined Jesus by the lake shore. He's walking along the lake shore, and he sees Levi, and he calls Levi to follow him. Now, Levi was a tax collector. And tax collecting was a very profitable thing. It was a big business because what you could do is you could overcharge people for their government taxes and then you could keep the extra. And so a lot of people were dishonest with this. I'm not sure if Levi was dishonest with this, but tax collecting was a big business. And it's interesting, though, that Levi, without hesitation, it says he gets up and he follows him. But it's safe to say that maybe, just maybe, Levi hadn't decided to completely commit to Jesus and be a disciple because of the wording that we see here. There's two different words here that you see in the scriptures. There's one that says follower, and there's another that says discipler. Disciple. So we're not sure if Levi was just going to take a walk and hear Jesus out. How many ever had a friend or somebody in your life that they were saying something interesting and you said, you know what? I'm just going to hear you out. Let me hear what you have to say. Anybody ever been there? And so maybe, just maybe, this is where Levi was, that he said, you know what? I'm going to hear Jesus out. I'm not sure if I'm going to be a disciple. I'm not sure if I'm ready to commit my life, but I'm willing to take a walk with Jesus. Anybody ever remember that point in your life where you're like, you know what? Let me see what this is all about. I'm willing to take a walk with Jesus. And so Levi is here. And it's interesting. This is the interesting thing about the difference between followers and disciples. All disciples are followers, but not all followers are disciples. A follower could mean a range of things, but a disciple has a very narrow meaning. A follower could be someone that's interested in what you're saying, but a disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone who's committed. A follower could just be taking a walk with you, while a disciple has accepted your teachings as their own. This was the big difference because, you see, it said that among Jesus' followers, there were disreputable people. There were all kinds of different types of people, right? But the disciples were different. Levi was deciding if he was going to make a leap from just following to becoming a disciple. So he invites Jesus to dinner. Now, this is a big commitment, so Levi needs to make sure that he weighs his options. Levi had some good things going on. Is Jesus really worth walking away from everything that he had going on? Is Jesus says, follow me and become my disciple. So on one hand, Levi has this profitable business that he's got. And on the other hand, he has a personal invitation from Jesus. Now, Jesus is the talk of the town. Jesus is the new thing. He is the one that people are saying he's healing people all over the place. And maybe Levi had even seen some healings. Maybe even Levi had seen some of the profound things and the profound teachings that he had. So Levi is weighing these two things. He's got, on one hand, he's got this lucrative career. He's got these connections and inroads with the government. He's found favor. But then on the other hand, if he walks away from that, he could maybe take a chance and take a risk and be a part of something really life-changing. But here's something to remember, and write this down in your notes today. Being a disciple is hard work. Being a disciple is hard work. And I think this is probably something that was going on in Levi's mind was, when you become a disciple, you have to change things about yourself. You have to listen. You have to go wherever the teacher goes. You have to participate in group activities. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel like being in the group activity. But you see, when you're following Jesus, sometimes you're involved in the group activity, even though you don't want to be involved in the group activity. Amen? And then there's this other anomaly about following Jesus that was different about than other rabbis. You see, other rabbis, you kind of knew what to expect. But with Jesus, he was kind of this out-of-the-box thinker. He could ask something of you that a normal rabbi wouldn't ask of you. So I'm sure all these things are kind of floating around in Levi's head, and he had to make a decision. So Levi invites Jesus to dinner along with the disciples, but he also invites his co-workers. Now, this could mean one of two things. Really, really interesting. Number one, he was so impressed by Jesus, he said, I'm going to show you off to all of my friends. That's a good one. But I also like to explore the possibility that he could be trying to further vet Jesus by putting him in an extremely socially awkward position. Here's Jesus. He's a holy man, right? He's decided. He's a rabbi. He's a prophet. He's a healer. Levi says, I'm going to get him in the same room with some people that are thieves and liars and see what happens. At the very least, it's going to be an exciting dinner show, right? So Levi does this, and this is what's so amazing with Jesus is Jesus knows all these things. And Levi might not have realized this is exactly what Jesus wanted. Jesus was going to hang out with sinners, which is exactly what he intended to do. Write this down. Don't be afraid to be where sinners are. Don't be afraid to be where sinners are. You know, Jesus went to where the sinners were. So guess where the disciples were indirectly? Where the sinners were. It's an interesting thing when you follow Jesus or when you're a disciple of Jesus, you're going to be put in some socially awkward scenarios. Jesus is going to cause you to be among people that are in a sin lifestyle, comfortable with the sin lifestyle, and yet you're trying to follow Jesus. And Jesus, not the devil, Jesus will put you in that socially awkward environment. Welcome to the table. So all these disciples of Jesus, and if you'll receive it, you and me as disciples are going to be put in awkward situations. People that are living in darkness, and we are supposed to come into the room, come to the dinner table with light. So Jesus is on his way to Levi's house. He knows prophetically what's going on, so he knows what's lying ahead. He knows it's not just going to be Levi and the disciples. He knows there's going to be some people there. and other people know. And so there's some people along the way that begin to have issue with this dinner arrangement. The experts of the law, right? The Pharisees begin to have a problem with it. Let me tell you this. The religious mind has a problem reaching the lost. This is why you don't see a lot of people coming to Christ at the hands of people that have religious thought processes. When we start becoming religious, we stop reaching. There are some people that are so comfortable with their routines and their traditions that they've really actually stopped reaching the people that need God's goodness. This can happen to us. We start becoming religious in the way that we think, and then we become irrelevant to the people that need us most. The religious mind cannot reach the lost. The religious mind cannot put proper value on the lost. Think about this story. Think about what's happening. The religious mind is the opposite of the evangelistic mind. Jesus is doing one thing on one side. The religious kind of crew are doing something completely different. The religious mind subtly sees scum while Jesus sees prodigal sons and daughters. But you know what? That doesn't happen overnight. You know, a lot of times we look at the Bible and we look so condescending on the Pharisees and Sadducees. We say, these people, they just don't get Jesus. But we don't realize sometimes things creep into our life that are religious traditions and religious routines that keep us from following what Jesus is doing right now. These people didn't set out to not be following what God was doing in the moment. These people set out to love God, to honor God, to live lives that were in honor of God. But traditions and routines became more important than actually hearing what God was doing in the now. So it's easier than you think to have some religious thinking. It's easy. And here's the scary part about when our mind gets too religious. Religion actually blocks you from the kingdom of God. And not just that, it blocks others. Jesus says it this way in Luke 11:52. He says, "What sorrow awaits you experts in religious law, for you remove the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering." I hope that I never become an expert. There's something powerful about always being a child before the Lord. You know, because when you think you know it all, there's something about a know-it-all spirit. Amen. Sometimes we got to cast out the know-it-all spirit. Because the know-it-all situation, it leads us to be like Pharisees. How many people do you know that they're experts in the church and they don't go to church? Pharisee. Because sometimes when we think we know it all, we're really missing out on what's going on. So I want to give you some steps to avoid religious thinking. Three steps to avoid religious thinking. This is going to take your walk to the next level. Going to make you have a more evangelistic mindset. Three steps to avoid religious thinking. Number one, spend time. Spend time with the lost around you. Jesus took time. He made time. He set time aside for the lost people that were around him. Because here's the problem. If you don't spend time with the lost, how are you going to win the lost? How are you going to reach somebody you don't know? How are you going to have the relational equity to speak into somebody's life that you don't spend time with? So Jesus spent time with the lost. So number one is spend time. Number two, make the call. Jesus, as he was walking around the lakeshore, he made the call. He called out to Levi. Can I tell you, he didn't force Levi. He didn't Bible beat Levi. He didn't guilt trip Levi. He invited Levi to a relationship, to a journey. us as believers, our responsibility is not to arm twist, not to manipulate, not to guilt trip, not to try to force somebody into being a believer, but to make an invitation. Jesus made the call. Jesus made an invitation. It's the Holy Spirit's job to touch people's hearts, to move people's hearts, to convince people. You don't have to argue with people. I don't have to argue with people. I don't have to convince people that Jesus is the answer. My job is to make an invitation. Your job is to make an invitation. Jesus made the call. So number two, make the call. And number three, commit. Commit. If you want to stay away from religious thinking, commit. In the end of it all, Levi did commit. That's why we have the book of Matthew. Amen. Instead of just being a follower, he became a disciple. Instead of just being interested, he committed. He decided to be a learner. He served with him. He followed him. He was consistent. The closer you get to God, the harder it is to be religious. Listen to me. I didn't say the closer that you get to religion. I said the closer that you get to God, the harder it is to be religious. Why? Because God is always taking you into the unknown, always taking you to the unpredictable, and it's hard to be an expert when you're out in the unknown. You see, the problem with the experts is they hadn't been out in the unknown in a long time. When we commit to Jesus, he takes us into the unknown. This is what I want to leave you with today. And this is how Jesus ended the story. This is his closing statement. Mark 2:17. He says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. And in this statement, he highlights three different types of people. Sick, healthy, religious. Sick, healthy, and religious. And when we get alone with God, we always have to evaluate ourselves. God, am I sick? Am I healthy? Am I religious? Do I have some thought processes that I've been holding on to that I was supposed to let go? Some routines that you were using, but you're not using those anymore. You moved on to something else, and I need to move with you. Sick, healthy, or religious? The sick, they need a doctor. And Jesus is the great physician. He heals every sickness. He heals every sin. He heals every problem in our mind, any problem in our emotions, in our spirit. He is the great physician. But that's not it. The Bible says that he's the first fruit among many brethren. So that means if he's a doctor, then I'm a doctor. Amen. You're a doctor. If Jesus is a doctor and I'm his hands and feet, then these hands and these feet must be doctor's hands and doctor's feet. Amen. So if I'm at a healthy place, that means I should be touching somebody. I should be reaching somebody. I should be with an evangelistic mindset. So that brings me to healthy. Maybe today you're healthy. That means you need to be on God's medical team. You need to be reaching the sick people. If you're healthy today, then that means that you're ready to help other people. If you're healthy, the focus isn't on you anymore. The focus is on who you can help. If you're healthy, you're in the doctor's office to help people. And religious, the last group. And this group is really, really tricky because sometimes you don't even realize that you've gotten into the group and you're in the group. Why is it? Because it's kind of like a slippery slope. You start to think a certain way. You start to accept certain types of routines and traditions. And all of a sudden, instead of following Jesus, you're following a routine. Instead of following what Jesus is saying right now in this season, you're following what you saw God do in a different season of your life. And so it's become religious. Maybe you're not sick, but you're not helping others. You're just kind of there. When we fall into religious thought processes, we can be sick and not even know it. Imagine having a terminal condition and being in denial. That's what it's like to be religious. The reason why Jesus was so harsh with the Pharisees, not because he hated them, it's because he loved them, and he was saying the most strong things that he could say to try to shake them out of their religious mindsets. Will you stand up with me today? I really believe that as believers, we have to look at our own heart. We have to say, where am I at today? Am I sick? Am I healthy? Or have I taken on some religious thinking? Have I allowed some rationales to get in my life that actually separate me from the goodness of God and separate me from helping others with the goodness of God? Today, in a minute, I want to open up the altar. I want to ask for some of our prayer team to come down. And maybe today you say, Pastor, I realize I got some areas that are sick in my life. I need a touch from Jesus. Or maybe you say, you know what? I've taken on some wrong thought processes and I need to just lay those down today. I need to lay that down at the altar. I want to walk out of here with a Romans mindset, that it's a Christ-like mindset, that he renews my mind. Or maybe today you say, I don't know what category I fit in today. I just need some prayer. Amen. I believe that God wants to touch you. God wants to make you new. God wants to refresh you. Wherever you're at, let me tell you, the great physician is in the building. He knows what you need. And I just want to open up this time for prayer, because there's something so powerful with that. As they sing the song, you can come.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.